Welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in beautiful Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Pastor Alan Bishop. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
No, this, don't get this wrong. You got to know this. You know me, I've got to cut the atmosphere with a little bit of humor. This little mark on my chin's not where Pastor Janet slugged me. It was shaving carelessly yesterday, so I said, don't do it again today. Just leave it. So I, when Pastor Janet was talking about the, God saving our marriage, you know what a lot of my response was during that?
What? What? What?
What's the problem? She could have said, you're a good share of it, but she didn't. But God's faithfulness, I'm telling you, he had to do a work. I have to be totally honest, I didn't really do my normal thing. But today, I said, God, I got to tell you, I might as well just say it up front. I've been kind of concerned because I've had a couple people say, hey, get a clue. I haven't felt the same lately since fall and summer. Just didn't feel right. Just don't have it. Don't have the up and get up and go. So I'm not worried about it, but I have been, graciously advised to pay attention. Oh, okay. I haven't done anything yet about it because I said, well, I feel okay now, but I noticed that I don't seem to stay focused as well. So, it doesn't worry me. I mean, I'm not exactly a spring chicken anymore, so. But I'm trying to be open to God to know what to do and what not to do. So I think that's very important. So I said, God, what is it you want? Because I don't want to put anything that's in my mind that's just for me onto you. So I'm trying to be cautious how I do this. I know no one in here has had a problem with pride. Right? Not today, yeah. It depends on the time of day. Yes, yeah. I agree with that one. So I'm looking feverishly through my notes last night late. And this morning I got up and I had coffee and I'm going, God, help me to do something that will hopefully bring freedom, set someone free. But on the other hand, let them know that it's not about critique and it's not my junk that I'm unloading on people, but, pride's a big one, isn't it? Because, like, when Pastor Janet said that about, God saving the marriage, I mean, I'd go, what? What? What's the issue? But I was prideful. It was a tough one. It's over. I mean, I'm not prideful anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm the other way, I think, pretty much. I'm not a taker. I'm a giver. And I like to do things physically, so that's my big thing. And I got a little call the other day that someone needed a little help with something, so I showed up there Friday. I think it was Friday, or was it Thursday? When after you retire, you lose track of the days. I try to remember Sunday, so I don't. If I don't show up, it could be, where is he? But I found this paper. I was going through a bunch of notes, and I said, Lord, I need something to just, like a diving board, in the name of it, and there's no date on it. And then I wrote just a few little teeny things on the back, but trade pride for love. That's a big one, isn't it? Huh? When you have pride, you can't love too well. Not the way God wants you to. So where I got this, I have no idea. There's no footnote. There's no, so I hope I'm not plagiarizing whatever, wherever I got it. Because it probably went with something, but I don't know exactly what. I just want to say a few things about it, and then we'll move on. You know what pride will do? It will not let you think right. Worldliness. What's love do? It'll let you think right. Godliness, not worldliness. It's simple. So, how do we take the scissors and cut off that part that's pride and open up the gates of heaven and let the love of God flow in? Pride will not let you react right to God or to the brethren. Oh. Love will let you react right to God and to the brethren. This is a big one, too. Pride will not let you receive God's heart in yours. Love will let you receive God's heart, and you'll love, have peace, and joy. This one I know is pretty important, too. Pride will not let you go forward in the fullness of God's plan and purposes for you. So you're on a little slippery hill and you keep spinning and you're not going anywhere. Love. His love will let us, it'll strengthen us, give us courage, grace to go forward. Oh boy, this is a big one too. Pride will hold you captive in restraints for not living in freedom of God. God's love will set you free. It's so different when you're living in the freedom of God. So don't let that pride get in the way of that. Pride will not trust, not let you live deeply, unconditionally. Yeah, because I kind of learned somehow as a young fella not to trust anybody. Ooh. But then when I got a taste of the love of God, I went, well, wait a minute. I mean, I didn't even trust my wife. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yes.
See what I mean? Now you wonder, well, maybe she did slug him. But it's so ridiculous. Pride will take you down a drain so fast. Head you toward the septic system. But the love of God will bring you up on a hill and a mountain so that when you're in a valley, you can still see the mountaintop. That's what I like about it. So love empowers you to love. Not worrying about being loved back. Huh. You mean you don't have to go, I'll do this for you if you'll do that for me. Don't have to do there. Do that. You know, there's nothing better than to give, not expecting a thing in return. I used to be a grumpy cuss. I mean, tithe. Hey, who paid for lunch? But really, though, I wouldn't even tithe. $20, good enough, $40, nah. Weren't you making more than that per week? Oh, yeah. And then came the day where God said, what if you trusted me enough, didn't let your pride get in the way, How about tithing 10% of your gross, not your take home? Oh, come on. And then I went, what? That comedian, I can't help it. I could just hear him going, what? Yeah, but the freedom comes with humility and obedience. Oh my goodness. And pride causes you to want or desire to be served and not serve. Opposite of our Lord Christ Jesus. But love, his love, will cause you to desire to serve and not be served. So it's no longer record keeping. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. Yeah, yeah. Walking in freedom, I think, is a good thing. And I carried a lot of not walking in freedom. And then when I surrendered to God more, it took me a long time to accept his grace in connection with how I was a little bit rough on the kids, you know, not physically, but had a big mouth and very critical. And Mary, my daughter, she'd tow off with me because she was very good at that, even though I might have started it. Of course, I wouldn't hear that during the time. I said, I didn't start it. Pastor Jan said, yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. So anyway, it went on for quite a while, and I couldn't let it go. Pride. Ooh, how can pride not help you let it go? Mary said, Dad, I've forgiven you. It's over. Drop it. I said, oh, yeah, probably you're right. But it's funny how the enemy, when you live in pride, will keep that little pin in your shoulder in the back that says, it's not over. You're not forgiven. You know. And when your daughter says you're forgiven, maybe she means it. Because she wouldn't have just said it for fun. You know Mary. Yeah. She's a wonderful girl. Oh, boy. But she is a fighter. She can fight. She used to know martial arts, too. Good thing she didn't unleash on Dad. Ooh. Pride causes you to distort the wisdom of the Lord. Oh, boy. So then it matches what you want. Yeah. And then pride, how it does that is you sometimes get mixed up with the wisdom of God and knowledge, because when you do have pride and you distort the wisdom of the Lord, you're basically probably relying on your own knowledge. I know a lot of very, very, very educated people. They have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know God, and they don't have a lot of wisdom. And pride will have you glory in that, but it doesn't bring freedom. Because knowledge will not give you freedom. It won't give you wisdom either. But wisdom will give you knowledge, and wisdom of God is what we really should and could and can desire, and we certainly need it. I've made a lot of mistakes because I didn't consult God. I was a fleece thrower. Well, God, what if I put this before you? You don't want me to buy that next motorcycle? Well, what if you don't want me to have it? Just put a no-no on the on the deal. Of course, I'm going to make the deal work. I did, and then I'd go a little bit of remorse after, like, ooh, probably shouldn't have done that. Sometimes when you do that, His grace is wonderful. You think it's like, wow, I got away with that. It's great. But then one time, it didn't feel so great because I did this thing that I knew better, and I bought one. I wasn't racing it like usual. I was being good. Went off the road with it and totaled it. Had a senior moment in the corner. And I went, God! I mean, it stunned me. I jumped up. I looked at it. I said, it's totaled. What? What? And then I thought, does that mean that I was just sort of using no wisdom and kind of the knowledge thing and a little control and did it anyway? I felt like it was just silence. Oh, you didn't need it? It didn't mean that I didn't need, you know, couldn't have a motorcycle, but not that. Could be a pair of shoes. A shirt. The wisdom of God is better. So that's all I'm going to say about that, as Forrest Gump said. But I would like to say I like this psalm. This was on the sheet, too. I feel like I just sort of grabbed this and I said, maybe this is it, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But Psalm 139, 23, 24. That's a good one. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And 24 says, hang on, strap yourself in. Not to be offensive, or you don't have to be defensive, but point out anything in me that offends you. Oh, boy. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. I kind of wanted the path I was on, but it didn't always work. But I think what he's saying in that is to allow his truth to comfort you and give you hope. God knows you intimately anyway. You might be able to fool somebody here on this earth, but you're not going to fool God. He knows your inner thoughts and what's in your heart, what's in your mind, even if your flesh isn't doing it. And he'll bring freedom if you can surrender all of that to him and allow his truth to comfort you and give you hope. He loves you more, as the worship song is saying, loves you more than you can imagine, and is present with you in every place and in every situation. Yeah. So I did write down just a couple things. I hope it's okay to read something from a book that I never really paid any attention to until, was it this spring? He was a forerunner, one that I respected a lot, Billy Graham. Never read a lot of his stuff. I've heard his sermons, and we did get to go to his, what was that, memorial property and library. Charlotte, yeah. It was awesome. It was kind of neat when we were down visiting our Janet's sister and brother-in-law. You all know this. I probably don't even need to read it. God opposes the proud. 1 Peter says 5:5, but favors the humble. Live in humility with all people. God will resist you in your pride. God gives grace, though, to the humble. Psalm 139:5. Just a few I looked up. I said, I need a couple scriptures too. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Sometimes he doesn't. We don't even know it. When you enter into a battle, whether it's spiritual or physical, it says God will go before you and he will be behind you. But what if I die? Well, he's still with you. Either way, it's win-win. And if you do it his way, you'll have peace about it. But if you don't do that, you won't. His way is the best way and the only way. Psalm 143:10, this is New Living too, says, teach me to do your will. Oh boy, that sounds a little strong, but then again, sometimes we need to be taught. For you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. You ever felt like you're walking on ice day by day? You don't really feel right. Like I said, I've had this little thing going on. I don't really know. I don't get scared or anything, but I go, I got to be careful. I don't fall down. You know, I mean, but I like it when I know I'm on a firm footing. And in the spirit realm, that's a big day, a big deal these days, I think, for all of us. And we need to speak with confidence, power, wisdom of God, but with the love of God too. And it's tough when somebody's chewing you up, wanting to spit you out. Your flesh wants to fight. God says, let me fill you with my peace right now and my wisdom. I think of Jesus, he didn't fight back. He just said what God told him to say. It's like, I hope I hear that. I hope I don't block that out ever. When the Spirit of Christ in us is allowed to rise up, the flesh calms down. If he says to me, and I know it's in my heart, in my spirit, to pull up a sword and use it, I will. But if he says not to do it, I'd better leave it down. Our life is more valuable to him than our shallow pride. Yeah, I just wanted to read a couple things out of this. I guess it's okay to do. I don't think there's copyright. I mean, it's got like... In the beginning, it's really weird because it was like first started. Of course, I love it when, so to speak, forefathers go before us. The wisdom that was in them. 1986, 1996, 2010. You know, it's really... But there was a couple in here. Let me... Peace. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. For as long as I can remember, he said, there have been conferences and studies, plans, and supposedly innovative ideas for bringing peace to this earth. Organizations have been created, much money and time have been spent, books have been written, all in an effort to find a formula that would bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. World War I was called the war to end all wars, but it wasn't. Not for the United States and not for most of the rest of the world. As I write, there are 50 wars occurring somewhere in the world. Whether men shoot and fight one another or not, there is warfare. There is warfare in the home, warfare between husband and wife, between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, between neighbors, between bosses and employees. Why? What can be done to bring peace in all these situations? The reason for war is that we have rejected God's provision for peace, Jesus said. My peace I give you unto you, not as the world giveth, because he did King James, give I unto you. So peace is not man's to give. It comes from Christ. We war with one another because of sin, which is a declared state of war against God. It's like, whoa. Only Christ can cancel sin and create a peace treaty with God and then between men. When the angel pronounced peace on earth, goodwill to men, it was a universal pronouncement for any who would accept this Bethlehem baby as his or her savior and no one else. Do you know this peace? It can be yours simply by asking for it. God's gifts are free, but he is waiting to be asked. And then I had another one here that you might not disagree with this, but I just liked what it said. Powerful proofs. We're always looking for proofs. For some people, this would be okay, maybe for some not. Who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God? Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. 1 Peter 3:22. What proofs did Jesus offer that he was truly God come in human form? First, there was the proof of his perfect life. He could ask, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? John 8:46. And no one could answer because his life was perfect. He was able to confront the full fury of Satan's temptations and yet not yield to sin. He was all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. Second, there was the evidence of his power. His power was the power of God Almighty, the power only God has. He could quiet the storms on the Sea of Galilee. He raised the dead, healed the sick, restored sight to the blind, and made the lame walk. His miracles were a witness to the fact that he is Lord of all nature, for by him were all things created, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians 1:16, 17. Thirdly, there was the evidence of fulfilled prophecy. Hundreds of years before his birth, the prophets of the Old Testament spoke precisely of the place where he would be born, Micah 5:2, and of the manner of his death and burial, and that's in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. Uncounted details of his life were foretold by the prophets, and in every instance the prophecies were fulfilled. And then fourthly, there was the evidence of his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Romans 1:4. The founders of the various non-Christian religions of the world have lived, died, and been buried. In some instances, it is still possible to visit their graves, but Christ is alive. His resurrection is a fact. His tomb is empty. And this is a compelling and central proof of his unique divine nature as God in human flesh. And then lastly, there is the proof of changed lives. Yeah. And we can witness that to anybody we come in contact with specifics if need be. History vividly illustrates what the Bible clearly affirms. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Education and discipline can do no more than rub off the rough edges of human selfishness. But Christ alone, the divine Son of God, has power to change the human heart, and he does. Christ can take the most sin-laden, selfish, evil person and bring forgiveness and new life. These are just five proofs which I base my belief in the divinity of Christ. I just like that. I don't know. What do we got for time? I got 5 minutes. Listen to this one. One more, and we're done. One is God is love, but I want to do this one. Faith that finishes. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And then you get worried. My faith is too weak. If God is in you, you're not weak. If you surrender him to him, your faith is not weak. Here 1 minute and gone the next. Because all the powers of the evil world system seem to be preying on the minds of people already disturbed and frustrated in our generation, I believe the time has come to focus on the positives of Christian faith. John the Apostle said, greater is he that is in you than it is in the world, 1 John 4:4. Satan is indeed capable of doing supernatural things. Don't underestimate him, he can. But he acts only by the permissive will of God. He is on a leash. Doesn't seem it right now, but he is. It is God who is all powerful. It is God who is omnipotent. God has provided Christians with both offensive and defensive weapons. We are not to be fearful. We are not to be distressed. We are not to be deceived, nor are we to be intimidated. And I know you're thinking, what I see on the news, there's a lot of intimidation across the nation, across the world, actually. Rather, we are to be on guard, calm and alert, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. One of Satan's sly devices is to divert our minds from the help God offers us in our struggles against the forces of evil. However, the Bible testifies that God has provided assistance for us in our spiritual conflicts. We are not alone in this world. The Bible teaches us that God's Holy Spirit has been given to empower us and guide us. In addition, the Bible, in nearly 300 different places, also teaches that God has countless angels at his command. Furthermore, God has commissioned these angels to aid his children in their struggles against Satan. The Bible does not give as much information about them as we might like, but what it does say should be a source of comfort and strength for us in every circumstance. I am convinced that these heavenly beings exist and that they provide unseen aid on our behalf. I believe in angels because the Bible says there are angels, and I believe the Bible to be true word of God. I also believe in angels because I have sensed their presence in my life, he said, on special occasions. Spiritual forces and resources are available to all Christians because our resources are unlimited. Christians will be winners. Millions of angels are at God's command and at our service. The host of heaven stand at attention as we make our way from earth to glory, and Satan's BB guns are no match for God's heavy artillery. I'll be honest, I've never seen an angel. I haven't. My grandson said to me when he was a little toddler, Judah, he said, well, I just thought I'd fish around to see what he'd say. I said, so Judah, you see angels? Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, don't you see them? I said, what do they look like? Oh, they're big. And I said, what color are they? All colors. Cool. That was the end of it. Haven't seen one yet. But sometimes I do sense something. There's something. And it's not my eyes because they're getting a little, you know, flashes, you know, that sort of thing. It's not that. That's part of it too, of course. But so I question it. Are you an angel or is that just a floater? Well, Lord, I thank you for this group. I just feel so privileged to even be up front. There's days sometimes I think, you know, maybe I should stand back and hide somewhere. And then he says, get up, be a man, and deliver my heart. So his heart for you is one that I could never fulfill. But he has given me a heart to care. So I pray, if I can do it, you can do it. So I pray for God's Holy Spirit to be received by every person in here today. And I know life has been hard in the past for probably most of us. But God's grace is bigger. His love is more powerful than all those things that Satan thinks he's put in place forever. And there'll be a day when Jesus returns, we will be swept up with him. And we will know glory that we've only seen teeny weeny little glimpses here. It's a big thing to see it while we're here. But it's nothing until the day what it's going to be when we meet him face to face. So I pray for that hope. God's the one that gives you faith. God's the one that gives you hope. God's the one that gives you love. You'll never find any of that on this earth without God. It's not there. But with him, it is. He's present on this earth as well as he is in heaven. So receive what he's got for you. Just keep on climbing. Keep on going forward. Remember, he's in front of you and he's behind you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message. And we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. Feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others. Thank you.